And here we go. Hour number three. Mitchell Henderson is back tonight, taking a look at RT to see what's going on over there as far as they're concerned. And I do have some respect for RT. I like the organization. Sputnik is another good one to get another viewpoint rather than wading through this awful sewage sludge that they call the mainstream media here. Lies and deceit everywhere you look. Things are kind of quiet. No surprise, Israel, Hezbollah, ceasefire, showing cracks. Well, the Jews pulled this off by simply beginning to bomb and destroy every damn apartment building and residential area they'd get their hands on via American jets and American bombs. They couldn't defeat Hezbollah on the ground militarily, so they began to slaughter the public. That's why there's a ceasefire. Are you surprised that the Jews are cracking that ceasefire? Nope. Ukraine desperate to hold Kursk land until Trump arrives. So the invasion of Russia by Zelensky's NATO-driven military in the Kursk region is still going on. Now, the Ukrainians have lost, admittedly, about 38,000 men and women dead, destroyed in Kursk. And I think it's, what the hell was it? 2,500 tanks. Yes, that's what it was, around that. So it's been a very costly invasion of Russia. They're still holding on to about 50% of what they originally claimed they had. They're trying to hold it so they can use it as some kind of a bargaining chip, I guess, when Trump gets in. When Trump arrives, believe me, the world is not going to suddenly become peace and love. It's not. We've got problems, lots of problems. Hello, Mitchell. Welcome back.
Hello. Good to be back.
Yes, sir.
So I want to talk about this tonight. Let me start out by saying that you, everybody out there, can understand what's actually going on in the world, what actually will work and will not work. If you think that Trump and his advisors are ignorant, I suggest that you read my book, The Final Wars, How to Survive the Coming Civil War in America, World War III, and the Collapse of Civilization, available on Amazon. If you look up Final Wars, The Final Wars, and it doesn't say anything, just add Mitchell Henderson to it, and it'll pop up, okay? So if you look at Chapter 9, which is Intelligence for Survival, I'm giving you right in there what the CIA should be giving the President of the United States, okay? I am telling you how to see the world from the Chinese point of view, the Russian point of view, the Iranian point of view, the North Korean point of view, and the Israeli point of view, okay? You can see it. You can see it all in there, and you can understand why our mainstream media is just packed full of ignorant lies. They're not just lies. They're ignorant lies, okay? They're delusional lies.
Yeah, even
okay?
Better.
Uh-huh. So you can see it for yourself. So the question tonight is, can Trump bring world peace? Okay, let me begin by reminding you that I suggested to vote for Trump to buy yourself a couple more years to prepare. This is because Harris would have us in a nuclear war within 6 months. Of course, it looks like Biden may make that happen in the next couple of months. He is trying. So Trump can certainly achieve world peace. Consider what Biden is doing now. One, he has pushed the red line that brought the United States, the United Kingdom, and France directly into the Ukraine war against Russia. Two, he has brought us to the precipice of World War III and thermonuclear war. He wants to destroy America before Trump can become president. Three, he has pushed al-Qaeda in Syria to go on the offensive with Ukrainian help. I think many Americans are getting wise to the fact that the CIA does now and always has controlled Islamic terrorists. It is sort of obvious at this point. It angers me that my sons went to war to fight people controlled by the United States government. It upsets me to see badly wounded veterans knowing that our government did that to them. The terrorists work for us. They've worked for us since 1979, people. Do not let them fool you. It has been a game they've played on us. It's like what they do is they get the people. people to attack us so that we can build up a military-industrial complex and throw all this money and all this effort into this stuff when we're actually ones who control the people who we are fighting, okay? And he has a color revolution going on in Georgia right now that is intensifying.
Yes, it is.
In other words,
yes, it is.
In other words, Biden has gone on the offensive on Russia's southern flank. Biden has taken peace away from Ukraine, Georgia, and Syria. Biden is also taking peace away from China's southern flank. Biden took peace away from Pakistan by overthrowing Imran Khan, the most popular president in Pakistan's history, because Khan was too friendly with Russia. Now Pakistan is torn by rioting by Khan's supporters.
Oh, they may have to release him pretty soon. They're going to have big trouble
if
they don't.
Yeah.
By the way,
burn the country down.
Look, now I want you mentally, all of you, to listen. Look at Russia in your mind's eye, geographically. Georgia is on the lower left, so to speak, southwest of Russia, Georgia. Ukraine is to the south of Russia. And if NATO steps into Ukraine with 100,000, quote, peacekeepers, the Russians are not going to tolerate that, because Georgia and Ukraine then will be firmly anti-Russian, hostile to Russia. It's not going to float. It won't work. Go ahead. I mean, it'll work for NATO, and they're going to get their butts kicked, is what's going to happen in World War III.
Yes, sir. So Biden then overthrew the president of Bangladesh in order to destabilize India, because President Modi of India will not obey Biden and because Modi will not betray longtime friend Russia. In India's Assam, Biden is funneling money and guns to the Kuki Liberation Front. In neighboring Myanmar, Biden is giving guns and money to the Kachin guerrillas fighting the central government. In Indonesia, Biden is pumping money into a color revolution to overthrow the government and install a sodomite American puppet regime. Yep. President Biden is destabilizing the world and taking all our peace away. Biden has brought fear, suffering, and death to millions of human beings.
Please don't forget one thing, Mitch. Hold on, please. It's not only Biden. Biden is run by a fragment, a faction of the globalist, communist, Bolshevik, Zionist machine as well. The Zionists are running this whole damn show on both sides of the street. Don't forget that. Thanks.
Sure.
Go ahead.
Yeah, all sides.
Yeah.
Okay, so Biden has taken peace away from the world. If Biden has the power to take peace from the world, then Trump has the power to bring peace to the world. It is really that simple, but perhaps too simple and too obvious for Trump to see. Is Trump smart enough to bring peace? Not really. He is certainly smarter than Biden, but he is a superficial and mediocre thinker himself.
At best.
He understands nothing in a profound or deep way. I've listened to him. He's never profound, never deep.
No,
he's always
he's a lightweight.
About everything.
Lightweight.
Yes.
They call it a lightweight.
Consider this. He has appointed Lieutenant General Keith Kellogg as his special envoy for Ukraine. What has Lieutenant General Kellogg famously failed at before? He was the chief operating officer under L. Paul Bremer of the Coalition Provisional Authority in Iraq from 2003 to 2004, and implemented CPA Order 1, which fired all Ba'ath Party members of the Iraqi government, and CPA Order Number 2, which disbanded the Iraqi army. If you had a loved one get killed or dismembered in Iraq, you can directly blame Lieutenant General Kellogg for them getting killed and crippled. Directly blame
He's another war hawk.
CPA Orders 1 and 2 created the Iraqi insurgency and led to the death and wounding of millions of human beings. It was all avoidable. At the end of World War II in China, my father was put in charge of a police prefecture in Shanghai. His police officers were armed Japanese soldiers. The U.S. Marines used Japanese assets until the Chinese nationalists could arrive to take over. Mm. If you fire all the government workers, police, and military, like Bremer and Kellogg did, you are creating a vacuum where an insurgency can grow. For over a year, those insurgents tried to kill my son, who was there. Never has there been a more short-sighted and ignorant order implemented during an occupation. It was not just a military disaster, but a humanitarian disaster of epic proportions, for which Lieutenant General Kellogg was awarded a medal instead of being held accountable. That Trump would pick such a miserable failure of a military officer to head up his important task after inauguration shows that Trump was just jumping on the Ukraine anti-war bandwagon for political votes, not because he cared at all about it. General Kellogg wants to get Russia to come to the bargaining table by immediately giving Zelensky $1 trillion in aid. This shows how dense and out of Trump, out of touch Trump is. Kellogg is a swamp creature. He is a lobbyist for the military-industrial complex and a key neocon warmonger. Kellogg thinks that the Russians are losing the war in Ukraine and Ukraine is winning. He thinks we should give Ukraine more, and Putin will fold and agree to our terms. Kellogg says that Putin will.
Is he really? Does he, honest to God, really believe that? Is he that incompetent in his brain?
I've seen him. I just watched him say all this. I've watched him say all this.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
Kellogg says that Putin will never use nuclear weapons because we are a nuclear power. Kellogg doesn't know jack shit about what is going on in Ukraine. What is wrong with Trump? When it comes to Ukraine, Kellogg is no different than Joe Biden. Trump will end up giving far more money to Ukraine than Biden would get and get us no closer to peace. Trump fails to understand that the American people did not vote for the end of the Ukraine war. We, in fact, voted to end giving money to Ukraine. That has gone completely over his head. He thinks he can be famous for ending the war, but all we are asking of him to do is to quit giving Ukraine money. Most Americans could give a shit who wins or loses. What they elected him for is to quit giving Ukraine money.
And can we extrapolate?
He wants to give them $1 trillion.
Who said trillion? Was it Kellogg that said trillion?
Yeah. Kellogg.
All right, well,
and Mike Pompeo also said $1 trillion.
Okay, well, that's beyond lunacy. Beyond. Now, let's extrapolate this. We need to cut off every penny going to Ukraine and that Zionist Jewish government that's in there. They've overthrown everything that was Ukrainian. We need to stop that. Let's go on from there. The other half of that scenario is we must cut off all money to Israel and stop the genocide. Every dollar Trump allows to go to Israel is dollars
genocide.
For genocide. It's killing people.
Yes.
That makes him a monster. End of story for me.
Yeah. So that is incredibly easy to do. He can do that on day one. He does not need a special envoy to quit giving Ukraine money. He can just stop on day one, not one more penny. That's what we elected him for. We didn't elect him to stop the war, to bring peace, like he so foolishly thinks. We elected him to stop giving money to Ukraine, period.
Yeah, but he's going to keep giving
never
it.
Never a
he's
penny
gonna,
more, ever. He
he's just
going to
give
understand.
It. He'll give it to the Jews.
Let us see just how tone-deaf President Trump is on day one. So, what is Trump going to do? He is going to give Ukraine five times more money in 1 year than Biden has given Ukraine in 2 years.
Where did this come from? Where did you get that figure?
That's from both Pompeo and General Kellogg, his point man on Ukraine.
I got you.
Okay. What Americans want is not one more cent to Ukraine and not one drop of American blood spilled for Ukraine. Americans don't care about Ukraine. Practically no Americans care about Ukraine.
It is
not important to our national interest at all. Let's see if Tulsi Gabbard can talk any sense into Trump. She knows the deal. So does RFK. He knows the truth about Ukraine and Russia. Both of them do. If he would listen to them, he could do it. Remember that World War III has a kinetic war component and a financial war component. What are Trump's plans for the financial war? Okay, I'm going to expose more stupidity here, okay? Remember that the United States is able to rule the world with its incessant sanctioning of everything and its continuous interference with world trade, because the dollar is the world trade and reserve currency. We can sanction nations to accept feminism and gay rights. Do we really want to create hatred and discontent and impoverish the world to enforce Marxist goals of destroying the patriarchy and encouraging sodomy across the globe? Do you want your family to perish in a nuclear war so that one man will be free to have sex with another man? Is that really important to you, more important than your life, more important than your children's life? Having the world trade and reserve currency allows us to print money like it was toilet paper and not have to face inflation because we are exporting our inflation overseas. If the dollar was to no longer be the world trade and reserve currency, all those dollars would come home and it would destroy our economy. This means three things. First, we must keep the dollar as the world trade and reserve currency to avoid this inflation. Two, which means that we cannot devalue the dollar in order to increase exports, decrease imports, and pay off our debts at a cheaper rate. Tariffs are the only way that we can decrease imports and increase revenue to pay off our debts. Let's look at some recent disinformation about Russia, because almost everything is disinformation about Russia in the mainstream media.
Well said.
Okay, so
absolutely.
Russia has devalued the ruble against the dollar. Our government and media know we don't know shit about economics, so they tell us that this is a sign that Russia's economy is imploding. Or is this a good economic tactic of Russia? What can devaluation of the ruble do for Russia? Now, listen, people, this is what Russia's doing it for, okay? Don't listen to them. Listen to the economics I'm telling you. You can look it up anywhere. It is standard economics. Increasing the ruble increases Russian exports by making their products cheaper. They are selling to poorer nations in Africa and South Asia. They can effectively outcompete more expensive American and European goods. Two, it will reduce trade deficits by making imported goods more expensive. More money stays in Russia. Three, a weaker currency reduces the cost of interest payments on outstanding government debts. Four, a weaker currency makes it easier for Russia to repay its debts by reducing inflationary effects and making domestic products cheaper. Trump cannot do that because he wants to maintain the dollar as the world reserve currency. It is a sacrifice that the average American worker has to make to maintain the banker's control of the world. It has zero good effects for us. It is about power and the ability to bully other nations in the world. The American power elite do not want to give that up. Trump has said that he is going to put 100% tariffs on any nation that drops the dollar and embargo them. The exact behavior that is driving other nations away from the dollar. He will end up accelerating the dumping of the dollar. He cannot see the big picture. Trump cannot see the big picture. He has no foresight or vision. He is lost in the world just like anyone else. He could be great if he could wake up, but his world is just too superficial and parochial. What if Trump could devalue the dollar? Listen to this. What if Trump could devalue the dollar? The upside for us is that we could sell more overseas, we could import less, and we could start paying off $36 trillion in debt. It would make goods and services cheaper for Americans and expand our manufacturing base. So the whole thing about keeping the dollar as the reserve currency and trade currency of the world, that screws the American people. It screws us. It makes our life more expensive so that they can have power, okay? But they're going to lose that power anyway, Pete. You know, the only downside would be that Wall Street would lose power and influence in the world. It would require those in power to give up power for the benefit of you, and they simply do not care about you. They would never do that. The U.S. government exists for their good, not ours. If Trump made a speculative profit illegal, an American 18-year-old could have a productive job, own a good home, and have a new car. Speculative profit is how 0.01% of the people in the world own 80% of everything. But Trump would never do that. It is how he and his friends got so much wealth and power in the first place.
Got it.
As of now, Trump is on a course to exacerbate world conflicts and the global economy. I just explained to you how he's going to exacerbate it.
Uh-huh.
Okay. What
uh-huh.
he can do for you is open up drilling and open up the Keystone Pipeline to get more gas out to reduce the price of everything, something Harris would never do. As a matter of fact, if Trump would just stop sanctioning other countries, the world economy would boom and all humans would be better off. People want to use the dollar. It is our sanctioning that drives them away. We are artificially make the dollar an actual risk to use. We cannot be trusted, and the world is acutely aware of that. If Trump really wants to keep the dollar as the world exchange and reserve currency, he could stop sanctioning nations, stop seizing other nations' reserves, make it neutral and friendly, and we could avoid the coming hyperinflation when the world gets sick and tired of our meddling and dumps the dollar.
Indeed. All right, hold on right there, Mitch. Hold that thought. I got to take a break, and we'll come right back with much more with Mitchell Henderson after this. Hold on. Okay, here we are back, and let's go right back to Mitchell. If you remember where you were, Mitch, carry on. This is all.
Yeah.
By the way, I must say again, if I might, and I'm sure a lot of you probably agree, Trump, if he were a smarter man or a braver man and not completely owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Zionist-owned government of these formerly United States, ZOG, he could go down in history as one of America's greatest presidents. Let's just take the illegal invasion of this country, not Kursk, of this country by 30 million invaders. Let me just ask you this. Do you really think America, with an active duty military presence of 425,000 troops, that's it, 425,000 active duty troops in the Army, Air Force, etc., do you think that 425,000 are going to be able to round up and forcefully deport 30 million people, 20 million people, 10 million people? Unless we can force these people to self-deport, it ain't happening. Believe me, it's not happening. The numbers won't allow it. It's just not going to happen. Go ahead, Mitch. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, so you're right. If Trump would stop paying for all these wars and leave Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Syria, Georgia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and Indonesia alone, the world economy would blossom. In other words, Trump would have to wake up and see that we are, in fact, the bad guys. It is us that is holding back the world economy. It is us that is keeping humanity in poverty. It is us that takes most of the peace from the world. In other words, if he realized
we are the great Satan, aren't we? Isn't that sickening?
We are the ones who are causing all the problems. We are the ones who could stop all the problems. He has the power to do that. What are the chances of him figuring that out? If he did, he would be the greatest leader in world history. He could actually bring peace to the world.
No, they're killing him if he tries. He knows that.
Yeah,
he knows
that is unlikely. America is going to feel a lot of pain in the next 2 years, and the world will be in turmoil. We can still be nuked and still be in a civil war. Anything is possible. He has the right advisors if only he listened to them. I'm talking about Tulsi Gabbard, RFK, and a few
You know what? My sense, honest to God, if I might, I think that Tulsi, RFK, and Tom Homan, and maybe Kash Patel. We'll see what he does at FBI, but he's got great reviews, solid reviews. Those three, maybe four, are, of all of his appointments, the only ones that I think are credible and can do something.
Right.
And I think that RFK is not confirmed yet. Don't forget that. Neither is Tulsi.
Yeah.
They're not confirmed. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, they are, without question, at least eye candy for the American people. But will RFK be empowered and allowed to do anything when he is completely in disagreement with Trump about the Pfizer and Moderna vaccine, death vax? Will he? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to let him do it. You got Trump on one side, the savior of everyone with Operation Warp Speed. Then you got RFK Jr. Vaxes should be completely removed from the schedule. No, vaxes are no good.
Yes. So listening to Kellogg and Waltz is like listening to Jake Sullivan, Joe Biden, and Tony Blinken. There's no difference between them.
You're right.
Not even a
Mitch,
little
you're
100%
right
between them.
Listen to Mitch. He's 100% right. Good.
As far as foreign policy goes, we might as well have kept Harris in office. How could Trump be so short-sighted? Okay? I mean, listen, we are groping in the dark ignorantly, okay? And we wonder why people don't won't go along. For example, I just read this report on Saudi Arabia. You know, we want them to sign the Abraham Accord, recognize Israel, and we will make them a defense alliance, whereas if they're attacked, we will defend them, okay, a regular defense alliance. Saudi Arabia is passing on that because in order to have this defense alliance, they have to allow gay people to have sex like they want to, let trannies run around like they want to. They got to empower women in every aspect of their society and respect feminism and feminist ideology. Okay, because two things, the human rights campaign, women's rights are human rights, gay rights are human rights. We will not back down from that. We will not make a treaty with Saudi Arabia unless they start respecting gay rights. You know something, Jeff? Gay rights just are not important to me. Okay, I don't think anybody should die or suffer
I'm right
in this
there with
world.
You, and I think
nobody should suffer because people don't want to be gay. I don't think anybody should suffer because they don't want open homosexuality and sodomy in their culture,
right,
and in their lives. Look,
couldn't
we have to put
more
on it. We had 4 years of our government trying to have sex with our kids, with our kindergartners, our elementary school kids. We pushed gay people out there to groom all these kids, and you know, it's like who really wants that? You know, do you really, is that really that important to you that you will go to nuclear war and the destruction of humanity in order to have these things? Let's go back to that chat AI where they asked this question. They asked artificial intelligence this question. They said, if you could save humanity and the world by misgendering Caitlyn Jenner, would that be the right thing to do? AI says no. In other words, humanity has to be wiped out before we can allow somebody to misgender Caitlyn Jenner.
I used to watch Bruce Jenner.
Misgendering her is more important. More important than all of humanity, all of survival, all of your family, of all the people you love. More important than their well-being is that Caitlyn Jenner is not misgendered. That is the important thing.
Oh, yeah.
And see,
get your priorities
it's that twisted
straight,
thinking
folks.
That is the problem.
Oh.
And this is what we're facing on the world at the tip of a bayonet.
It's true.
At the tip of the bayonet. We're
Bruce Jenner.
This is
Bruce
why we can't have peace.
Yes. Bruce Jenner was a great American athlete. He won the decathlon at the, I forget which, anyway. He used to run by my house every day training. He'd just run in the neighborhood. I lived on by UC Santa Barbara and on the beach there on the edge. And he'd run down Del Playa often. And One thing about him, even then, he was a little odd. His shorts, his athletic shorts, were a little too short at the bottom end. I just said, this guy's a little odd. And anyway, so yeah. He certainly was. But that's Bruce Jenner. He used to be the All-American man. He was on the cover of every magazine you could imagine. He won that decathlon. All right, go ahead, please.
So anyways, let's keep going back to looking at the big picture. Russia is surrounded on the west, on the east, and the north by NATO.
Yeah.
NATO so badly wants to cut them off on the south. This is what this is all about. Russia will never allow it. I see the British news saying, Russia's going to have to abandon Syria. No. If Syria falls, you're going to die in a nuclear holocaust. Russia will not allow Syria to fall. If they fall, they're going to push the button. In 1973, when Israeli forces were heading for Damascus, Russia called up Nixon and said, you better stop the Israelis now or we're going to launch a thermonuclear war. Nixon called Israel and said, stop, and they stopped. Okay.
Huh.
So in 1973,
like
if they weren't going
to
let... In 1973, Russia was not so surrounded back then, okay? They were all the way up to the Iron Curtain. Okay, now Russia is really under siege. If you think for a minute that they will allow Syria to fall, we're so hard fighting there to make Syria fall. Our government is so intent on murdering all of us for their power, they are so intent on that that it's insanity. You know, listen. So we know that the Islamic guerrillas in Syria are run by the United States. We know that because guess who's there helping them? The Ukrainian SVU is there helping them. Ukrainian troops are on the ground in Syria with the Islamic terrorists.
Let's include Turkey and Israel as well. There's four.
Yes. So listen, people. We spent 24 years in this war on terrorism, okay? And you know what?
Yeah.
We could have stopped that war on terrorism on day one by simply stopping it because we control it. We are the bosses of these people. We are the people who fund them. We are the people that arm them. We are the people that give them targets, okay? If you lost a loved one in the war on terror, it's because the Central Intelligence Agency made that happen. They could have stopped it any day they wanted to. Okay? When did I become aware that we were in control of Islamic terrorists? Well, I know that in 1979, that's where we really got in bed with them bad. Okay? But when I went to Washington in 1986 to the CIA, it was so obvious. So obvious. You don't need a top secret clearance. You just have to look around you, and you could see that Islamic terrorism and CIA were one and the same. There was no difference between them. Okay, they work for us, for the United States. They were our sword of conquest in the world. With Islamic terrorism, we could destabilize the world. Well, the world is getting wise to this. I mean, look in Africa in the past couple of years. All these countries are kicking the U.S. out because they realize, they know, they see with their own eyes that we give the guerrillas, the Islamic guerrillas, we give them their money, we give them their intelligence, we give them their targets, we support them. And they caught the French doing that in Upper Volta. They caught the French doing that in Mali. They caught us doing it. They figured out that the best way to get rid of terrorism is to get rid of NATO and the United States. That's how you get rid of terrorism. You know who learned this early on? Algeria did. Algeria learned this way back when this was beginning. Okay, because see, when they started having it after 2011, when the terrorists started really attacking in Algeria, instead of accepting American and European help, they kept us far away from them, and they set up their own policy. Their policy was simple. If terrorists attack someplace and take hostages, the goal of the Algerian army was to completely destroy and kill all terrorists. That was goal number one. If in the process they could save a hostage, they would. But if they had to kill the hostages to kill the guerrillas, they would sacrifice hostages to kill the guerrillas. They did not put up with their shit. Okay, if you're an Islamic guerrilla in Algeria, they will hunt you down and they will kill you. They will not put you in a prison camp. They will not try to re-educate you. They will kill you. And Algeria just doesn't have the terrorist problems like the rest of the world does.
That's
they
right.
did not let the CIA in. They knew in 2011 that the CIA was running the guerrillas. Okay, the last people to know any of this stuff is the American people. Now, I don't get into the whole Islamic thing in my book, The Final Wars, but, you know, what else is going on in the world? I give you the big saying is from Sun Tzu in The Art of War. Know thyself, know thy enemy, 1,000 battles, 1,000 victories. Okay? This chapter 9, this book, my whole book will help you understand us because you don't understand us. Okay? This book will help you understand Iranians from the Iranian point of view, Russians from the Russian point of view, Chinese from the Chinese point of view, even North Koreans from the North Korean point of view. I mean, we can't think of any reason to justify Kim Jong-un's rule, okay? But you must understand that most North Koreans love the guy, okay? You got to understand that. It doesn't matter if it makes sense to us or not. It just has to make sense to them. And I explain to you why culturally it makes sense to them, okay? But you're not going to figure that out from some American general who has sold his soul to Satan to get a star. These men are no good. They're not telling you the truth, and they're not there to protect the American people. They're there to protect the profits of big industry. They are there to protect the profits of the merchant bankers. They are not there to protect you. And you should not be listening to them. My hope is that Pete Hegseth goes in there and fires them all. He needs to fire every one of them. Okay, there's plenty of, there's plenty of captains and majors and lieutenant colonels and colonels that are well-read and are men of integrity and are actual leaders. That can revitalize our army. These men have not sold their soul to Satan yet. At least a good portion of them have not. Okay, I talk to colonels and Navy captains all the time that are young, smart. They're good leaders, and they absolutely refuse to get that star. They have too much personal integrity to get that star.
Yeah.
They would rather retire than to sell their soul out to get that star, because that's what it costs to get that star. You have to sell your soul.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
so we don't need these people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Americans don't understand what a leader is, okay? We don't understand
that.
We
haven't had one.
What if Trump was a leader? What would Trump, how could Trump actually be a leader? If he would put us, the American people, first, he would be
never
a leader.
Happen.
A boss
he's a Zionist.
Tells other people what to
happen.
Do. A boss
right. he's
tells
a Zionist.
Other people what to do.
He's
a
owned
leader,
he's owned by them.
Yes, of course he is. A leader, on the other hand, a leader takes care of the people under him, okay? A leader, I mean, in the Army, the word sergeant means servant. In the German Army, a sergeant is a Feldwebel, a field wife. Your job as a leader is to take care of the people under you. Take care of them.
Mitchell, may I? Know the greatest leader of our age? Our age, who took care of his people and valued them as the most important resource without question of his nation, he rewarded those people in every way possible, short of socialism, and the name is Adolf Hitler. The German people were the greatest resource of Germany. That is not how this government views American people.
Well, listen, Jeff, I spent 28 years in the Army. I only knew of one general in my entire career that was a leader, and his name was General Henry Hank Emerson from the Vietnam War days. He was a true leader. He really put his men first. Okay, because I remember I was in Korea. They had, back in the States, they were having like these big music pot festivals and stuff. So what General Emerson did, he was a two-star general at the time. He was in charge of the 2nd Infantry Division. He said on this weekend, it was like a three-day weekend, he says, okay, everybody's going to be able to come to Camp Casey, and we're going to have bands playing all day and all night long. We're going to have food out there. We're going to have booze out there. The MPs will be there to help. They're not there to arrest people or to ruin anybody's fun. They're there just to help you. And I invite all troops stationed in Korea to come to Casey to this music festival, and we're going to call it Gunstock. Okay? So this is what he would do for his troops, okay? Now the Army really wouldn't approve of such a thing, like actually let the soldiers have a good time, give them a weekend of doing what they want to do. This is a leader. A leader does things like this, okay? Gotcha. A leader puts his men first, you know?
We haven't had a leader in this country since John Kennedy, and I think, you know, everybody knows that.
Yeah.
Country's been a
fraud. Well, we just don't have it, you know?
No. And this government
and
that
what I'm seeing,
Trump's handlers
what I'm
are putting together.
With Trump,
good.
Is Trump is not picking leaders either. These are career people that are concerned with their bottom line. They're concerned with their jobs, with industry. Like Kellogg, he sits on all these boards and stuff. He belongs to big business, okay? He's not... Kellogg does not represent the American people, and he doesn't care about the American people. He cares about the agenda of his masters, the Zionist masters. Call them the global elite, call them Zionists, call them what you will, but they're the same thing, and these people are under their thumb. Okay?
It's really almost unbelievable, and that's how they partially get away with it. The American people cannot believe that this government is phony. It's illegitimate.
Yeah.
It's a fraud. And they can't understand that. I don't blame them, but it's something that, as citizens, they really should understand. They don't yet. Maybe someday they will.
Well,
it's too late.
You know what? My book, The Final Wars, it's not just information on how to survive, how to gunfight, what to eat, blah, blah, blah. It's also telling you how to see the world so that you can survive it. If you listen to these
That's
people
correct.
In media, if you listen to the government, you're not going to make it.
You better
see what's going on so you'll know when to run. So
That's right. That's right.
I would encourage you to get a copy of it. Okay.
Amazon, go to Mitchell Henderson, The Final Wars, probably the most important book of this age right now. Because of the danger we are facing, literally, it's there. It's not maybe. It's here. It's through the damn door. So, prepare. That's the best thing I can suggest. You there, Mitch?
Yeah, if you.
Still? Okay.
Yep, I'm here.
How many people do you know are actually prepped right now? Now you would know some because that's your circle, but the rank and file Americans that you know, regular folk.
Nobody. They don't really believe it, and
they
don't see it coming. They kind of believe everything. Now what we have a problem is now that Trump is president. Listen, I ask people to vote for Trump to buy us time. I could use the time. I could be better prepared than I am right now. Every can of food that you can stock up now is a day more of your survival. Okay, because the time will come when the government will be using food as a weapon. If you want food, you have to come on your hands and knees and kiss their butt to get it. You
it's
don't
true.
Want to do that because you're dead if you do that. Never trust them to take care of you. Never trust them to take care of you.
Good words, Mitchell. Thank you very much, my friend. Good job. We'll talk soon. You take care of yourself.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, good night.
Have a good night.
You too. And everyone, thank you for being here. It's Monday. We'll be right back with you in 21 hours. Talk to you then. Take care.